This is a massive peak and depth and power and understanding, not in Bitcoin, but in the fundamental liberation of the species from the money changers, the money creators, the money lenders, the currency by fiat, the currency by law, predators on the history of the species. Please understand what a moment in time this is. Of course, you know, the price is exciting. That's all cool. I get all of that. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with being a little chirped about the price. But Bitcoin, in its most fundamental manifestation, is life itself. Hyperbole, you say? I strenuously disagree. I did this speech many, many years ago. I did many of these speeches. Bitcoin means the end of war. Bitcoin means the end of intergenerational predation. Bitcoin means the end of vote buying. Bitcoin means the end of the endless worms through the casket theft of your savings through inflation. Bitcoin means the end of useless as tits on a bull government programs of vote buying and subjugation. Bitcoin replaces the witch doctor physics of political pull with the objective science of uncontrolled currency, uncontrolled, unmanaged, yet highly disciplined money. Bitcoin ends all but the most defensive of conflicts. Bitcoin ends the avenue for some of the smartest among us to make their pretend money by pillaging the stored value of everybody else. Bitcoin casts mathematical geniuses back into the workplace where they can actually produce something of value rather than skirt around on the witch broomsticks of fiat currency on the high Olympian mountains of endless predation. Bitcoin is life. Look, in the 20th century alone, a quarter of a billion people were slaughtered by their own governments, most of which were funded, all of which were funded by fiat currency. That's just democide, not even counting the wars. Can you have wars of aggression without Bitcoin? You cannot. With Bitcoin, the money is yours until you say otherwise. Do you follow? Your money is yours until you say otherwise. Nobody can come in and inflate it away. Nobody can shut down your bank account because you are in close proximity to a snow-covered bouncy castle. Your money is your own. Your life is your own. Your savings are your own. Your planning is your own. Your essence is your own. You're out of the rolled paper jail of mere manipulated fiat. This is the breaking out. This is the final Platonic pledge to escape the matrix, to escape the cave, right? You know the story. I talked about it in my presentation, The Truth About Plato, my 4-hour plus opus. You can find that at fdrpodcast.com. What did Plato talk about? He said, most people are not looking at the world. They're not looking at things. They're not even looking at the shadow of things. They're looking at manipulated imagination, which is called propaganda. Most people are trapped in a cave. There's a fire. There are a bunch of shapes in front of that fire. They're looking at the shadows of the flickering shapes manipulated by others on the cave wall. They are nowhere close to reality, and they don't even know that they're mad. They're nowhere close to reality. And they don't even know that they're mad. Now, the traditional Platonic tale, which we've seen played out in this conversation over the last 18 years and in countless other conversations, though few with this much scope and reach, is that the philosopher begins to doubt that the shadows on the wall of the manipulated shapes are real. He stops looking at the wall, and then he sees the shapes. And then he stops looking at the shapes, and he sees the fire. And then past the light of the fire, illuminated by the light of the fire, he sees a passageway. And that passageway leads up and up and out. He tears himself away from the hypnosis of the screens. Right? Screens. Fake reality, and a screen is something to keep something out, right? A screen door to screen people to have standards. So reality is screened out by the screens. Once he starts looking away from the hypnosis of the propaganda, he sees a passageway on the far side of the fire that leads up and out, and he begins to climb those stairs. And instead of looking at an artificial fire and manipulated objects, he goes out up into the world, his eyes agonizing like you've just stumbled out of a mid-afternoon film noir festival into bright sunlight. And he sees the world that is, the unmanipulated world, the uncontrolled world, the world of empiricism, the world of facts, the world of reality, the world of objectivity, the world of truth, the unmanipulated world. Bitcoin is to fiat as manipulated, fear-mongering horror stories are to the simple experience of the natural world. Now, in the past, the man, usually the man, who sees the world for what it is, no manipulation, no fire, no screens, no propaganda, no shadows, the things themselves. What does he do? He goes back down. He goes back down into the cave and tries to tell people that they live in a false, manipulated, unreal, made-up matrix metaverse of lies, control, and propaganda. And the people say, "You're crazy, man! These shadows are real. I don't know what ayahuasca drug trip you've been on." Riding Cernovich's bouncing nutsack through the Mojave Desert of confusion. But that's real. Whatever you're talking about is not real. And the man insists that what they're watching is a manipulated illusion and tries to get them to mount the stairs to the real world, to unplug. And all the people manipulating the masses say to the truth teller, or say about the truth teller, "He is an evil man who wants to lead you to your death and doom," and rouses the population to attack the truth teller rather than the constant liars. I mean, we've all had this situation in the world, haven't we? All had this situation, both in our personal lives or online lives, you name it, where you tell the truth to some people and they get mad, not at the people who've lied to them for eternity, but for the person who tells them the truth. But fear changes everything. Sorry, Bitcoin changes everything relative to fiat. And I'll tell you why. What breadcrumbs have been available to lead people to the light in the past? I say again, this is absolutely foundational and essential to what's going on in the world right now. Right now, today, this afternoon, as we speak. What breadcrumbs have ever been available to lead people to the light? The steps up to the sun, the steps up to the world, out of delusion, a thorny and broken and acidic and covered in bat guano, which is probably COVID infected. It's a shitstorm getting out of the cave. And I've said to people from the very beginning, it could be at least months and probably years of suffering before your eyes adjust to the light and you take in with great gratitude the glory of that which is rather than that which is merely told and inflicted. When you think for yourself rather than juggle the manipulated madness inflicted on you as pretend empiricism by other predatory people. God, wouldn't you love to have a world free of war and endless debt and the endless profitability of feasting on the body politic through the insane forked tongue of endless propaganda. Wouldn't it be just incredible that the value that you put aside doesn't slowly evaporate? All of our savings is meat in sunlight. Do you follow? All of our savings are meat in sunlight, and our focus, our time span has so shrunk. We can't store anything. We have no freezers, we have no fridges, we have no salting, we have no curing, we have no canning. We hunt, we make a kill in the analogy, and we can't freeze any of the food. We live in a prehistoric state with regard to our savings. We get food for a year, it rots in a day. We can't store anything. Everything decays, everything falls apart. It's like trying to live in a sandcastle, in a storm. Everything is decaying, everything's falling apart, everything's being preyed upon. All the savings that we have, all the wealth that we create is used as collateral to borrow and bribe. Our wealth becomes our chains in the current system. That which we achieve becomes only a kind of economic noose. And the savings we put aside to get married and to have children turns into giant bear traps and man traps and hollow tubes of endless enslavement. We can't save anything. We can't affect anything. We can't control anything. We can't trust anything. Nothing is plannable. Nothing is predictable. We're living in the mind of a madman. We are bit characters in the fever dream of a psychotic episode of the powers that be. We are a smudged thumbprint backdrop to a painting that is burning. Don't you get this sense? I don't think it's just me. You can't plan anything. And all the numbers are lies. In America, they just revise the job estimates by hundreds of thousands of people. There's so much profit in lying. There's so much predation that nothing can be planned. And those of us who are smart enough to want to plan or who come from cultures that had to plan for winter are in this twisted LSD chaos that chafes against all that we wish to control in the future. Intelligence and the need for intelligence is foundationally based upon the need to predict and control the future. What can we predict? What can we control? Virtually nothing except in this realm, in the realm of Bitcoin. Now, of course, I said that in the past, there were no breadcrumbs to lure people to the light. Well, hello, breadcrumbs. In the past, the amount of suffering you had to go through to pry your sticky eyes off the flypaper of propaganda was agony. You lost eyelashes, you lost vision, you lost friends, you lost love, you lost stability, you lost income, you lost momentum, progress. You had to fall for 1,000 years to bounce into heaven. And who survived the fall? Not everyone, I'll tell you that. Not everyone. Now, we have some gold coin, capital B, breadcrumbs. You can leave one on every step towards the light. Now we have an empirical measure of the value of human freedom, of the value of liberation from the financial matrix of debt and predation. Now the reward for understanding and wisdom is both vivid and immediate. And people still think that Bitcoin is about money. No. Bitcoin is about freedom. Bitcoin is about having control over your own life. Bitcoin is the sword that cuts the chains of enslavement to unchosen debt. You know, it's funny, I'm doing a bunch of research at the moment. So what do? I go to academics funded by my tax dollars, on websites funded by my tax dollars, and they have the absolute ball-busting audacity to say to me, oh, you want this article that you paid for? Well, that'll be $78. It's just like me renting a car, going back to the desk and say, hey man, I'm happy to sell your car back to you, only $5,000. Because I'm in a generous mood. Now we have breadcrumbs to lead people to the light. We don't have to drag them. We don't have to cajole them. We don't have to woo them. I don't have to twerk on the steps. I should probably twerk away from the steps to drive people towards the steps, but you understand what I'm talking about. Twerking is involved. I don't have to riz people up the steps. People are hanging on to Bitcoin like someone trapped in a cave 50 feet underwater is hanging on to air bubbles. Now, you understand that for most people, conservative investments in Bitcoin have been barred in most jurisdictions. Barred. Most people are handing money over to a financial advisor or a hedge fund manager or something like that. And to a large degree, just my interpretation, I'm no lawyer, no economist, no expert, just my philosophical interpretation, that they have been barred and banned from conservative investments into Bitcoin. I mean, of course, they can go buy Bitcoin in most jurisdictions and so on, but as far as, well, the information has been withheld from them, and a lot of the technical custodianship has been kept away from them, and of course, a lot of the scare stories about so-and-so lost their coins has been inflicted upon them. Now, there's a tipping point. At one point in the movie Titanic, you're crazy to get on the lifeboats. At another point, you're crazy not to. So, there is a reward for virtue that is as close and closer than it's ever been in human history, a tangible material reward for virtue. In the past, life was such a shit fest, such a shitstorm, that the best you could hope for was a reward in heaven after death. And then you got some reward for hard work and dedication in the early scientific phase, in the early artistic phase, in the early entrepreneurial and free market and industrial revolution phase. And then, oh gosh, oh boy, did you make a lot of money in the industrial revolution, Europe? Wow, that's really cool. Did you end slavery? Good for you, man. Good for you. You made a lot of money in the 19th century. Wow, that's great. You know what we can do with that money? What could we do with that money? Could we, advance science, develop rocket ships? Could we get cures for cancer? Could we help spread peaceful parenting? Could we do, look, you've just made a fortune. The greatest wealth accumulation in all of human history. to that time was between about 1750 to 1900, 150 years or so. Wow, you made a lot of money. Wow. You historically won the infinite lottery and have staggering amounts of resources. Boy, what could we as a society do with all this sudden new incredible wealth? I know. We're not going to the stars. We're not going to the moon. We're not curing illness. We're not educating the poor. We're not increasing your salary. Do you know what we're going to do with all that money? Trillions and trillions of dollars that you have generated. What are we going to do? I know. Let's fucking slaughter 10 million of you and lay waste to 2.5 countries. How does that sound? Doesn't that make all that work worthwhile? We're gonna smash you up, blow you up, mustard gas you up, disassemble you, starve you, turn you into your component atom, scatter you across the wind to the point where we're just gonna have one giant tomb for the unknown soldier because we can't find even one hair of you. Yeah, that sounds good. Yeah, that sounds good. That sounds great. Thanks for all of that wealth. We're going to turn that wealth, all your hard work, putting your children down mines, putting your women up chimneys, we're going to take all that wealth, all of the first accumulation of massive riches in the history of humanity, and we're going to take you all apart. We're going to take you all apart. Destabilize the entire continent. Slaughter 10 million of you and then even more in the illnesses that follow the war. Oh, and yeah, then what we're going to do is we're going to massively inflate the currency. Then we're going to produce a 14-year Great Depression, which culminates, ooh, how about a 4 to 6X war? 10 million, that's nothing. Let's do 40 to 60 million. That's tasty. Ooh, also let's use it to fund communism. We get another 100 million slaughtered out of it. And that's your reward for 150 years of backbreaking labor. Ooh, you're going to end slavery? Fantastic. That gives us a lot of wealth, which we can then use to fund hundreds of millions slaughtered in the cause of war. Success is disaster, wealth is slavery, liberty is death. Hey, good thing you had a free market. We're going to scoop all that up and use it to fund weapons of mass destruction. Oh, that's going to be great. Oh, now that you have a lot of wealth, perhaps we could use it to entrap and indoctrinate your children in the Prussian school system, which turns them to abject slaves of propaganda. Oh, as an added bonus, I think we'll just turn them against you as well as an elderly, out-of-touch, bigoted generation. Sound good? Yeah, that sounds great. Well, it doesn't matter whether it sounds good or not. It's going to happen anyway. Don't like dying by the hundreds of millions? Because of fiat currency? Bitcoin solves that. Oh! You don't feel like sending your hard-earned money and your children's future to some ethnic conflict halfway across the world? Too bad, we're doing it anyway. Oh, Bitcoin solves that too! Fiat currency is a beheading paper cut that takes away the lives of hundreds of millions, in my view. Bitcoin solves that. If you don't control your resources, you don't control your life. If you don't control your savings, you have no freedom. There's no point putting your money in a bank if people are pulling it out through the back. That is life in the world as it is. And it's not much of a life, and it's a whole lot of death.